him, but he lives in us. We've taken the beautiful Holy Communion this morning. This is in remembrance of him. What does it mean to be in remembrance? It means that he's in us. Partly, it means that he's in us. And because he's in us, we're in this world, he expects of us. The Apostle Paul says, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of his kingdom. That's what the word says. We're ambassadors. So if we're ambassadors of his kingdom, what does it mean? Well, we're to represent. How do you represent? You must walk by faith. We must be people who walk by faith and not be people who walk by feelings or, you know, their own mental ascent, the limits of our minds. That's not the way for the believer. The believer must walk by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means that we use faith. Like a mechanic in the garage uses a ratchet, we can use faith in the same way. We can use faith like a mechanic uses a ratchet. What could you do with that faith?
All things.
Anything you choose. Anything or anywhere your imagination can go to, you can apply faith to that thing. Anything? All things. I'm quoting from my Lord and Savior Jesus. He said, all things are possible if only you can believe. Oh, it's a great message this morning, everyone. It's a great message. And we'll close there, shall we? Shall we just close there? And there's enough there to think about, isn't there? Isn't that just enough right there to think about? But I'll go into some more detail. Let's go into the word for sure. You know, some people say, I'm praying God will give me faith. But you know, that's a terrible thing to say, really. Because Romans 12:3 teaches that God has already given us the measure of faith. So people can't say that they're waiting for God to give them faith. They've got faith. Romans 3 says it. Let me read from Romans 12:3. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So each one of us has the measure of faith. Now, the question is, what are we doing with that measure of faith? You see, some people use that measure of faith, others don't. God has called us to use faith. He says the Christian walk is a walk of, the Christian is someone who walks from faith to, the whole thing is faith. Very important we understand these things. So everyone has the measure of faith given to them. The question is, what are you doing with the measure of faith that you've been given? I'm so thankful that we've had testimonies this morning. And in those testimonies, you could see evidence of faith. But I want to tell you this morning about something, a place where I've been. You see, I had a formal theological education. So I studied those German theologians and those sorts of things. And, you know, I could bore you like with a lecture. And I see your eyes glazing over. The thought of it. Some of you are already starting off. It doesn't take long with that stuff.
It gets you really sleepy quick. If you find it hard to sleep at night, pick one of those theological books up. You'll be asleep within a page. I mean, really, they are very dry books. Great cure for insomnia. So what I'm talking about is a faith here. That's spectacular. Now, this looks like just a, you know, it's a church building and it's wearing oral and no big shakes. We're not on the news. They're not queuing up outside the door to come in here, are they? Plenty of spare seats. Nothing much going to happen here then, is there? I'll share with you a testimony before I go any further, just to show. Norman, I don't want to embarrass you, brother, but come up here, will you? Just stand there. Me and Norman have been doing something for a couple of weeks. Norman was blind in one of his eyes. And the hospital had told him, it's impossible, you'll never see from it because there's nothing there for you to see in. You can't see. Well, guess what? We've got another person who we can believe in. Now, I'm glad for the specialists in the hospital and the hospital staff, and they do such a good job. And many of them really care, and they, you know, so we thank God for them. We're happy to go with them and accept what they do, and you know. But there's times when they come to an end. And they'd come to an end with no, there was no hope. They couldn't do anything. But Jesus, the one I'm talking about this morning, he did something right here. Right here, as Norman was here all those weeks ago, wasn't it, Norman?
Yes.
Would you just tell the people, Norman, just in your own words, what happened that day? Just come here and just tell them.
Well, I'd been to the opticians, and they said, you've not been able to see through this eye from birth because the back of my eye, it's never developed. And he didn't want to do anything to the opticians. So I said, well, something's happened. So he put one of those things up for me that he could. But I could only make the big letter out. So he said, well, no, we can't get it any better than that. He doesn't want me bothered. But
I want you to explain to everyone what you could see before.
I could see nothing. It was just, if I closed my eye, it was just, if I closed my good eye through my left eye, it was just black. Nothing.
Nothing. Because nothing was connected.
No.
And the hospital has said since he was a boy, there was nothing connected there. So it's impossible to see if there's nothing connected. But Jesus connected something.
Yeah.
Because after the prayer at the front of the church,
I started seeing.
You started seeing?
Yeah, and each week it's getting better. Yeah.
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 So what we do now is Norman comes to the front, and we'll do it after the service.
Yeah.
We look at that ticking sign, yeah. and it's getting better every week. Yeah. So
I've already done it.
It's getting better. It's getting better today. I was excited. I was excited to hear what it was. But it's already brilliant. Thank you, Norman. Thank you. You see, so this is why I'm excited, everyone. You know, I'm not excited for the sake of just, you know, I'm really excited because I know that God is alive, and God is real. And this Bible is real. And what we have to do is, okay, so people say to me very often, they say, well, how come I have not received it? If God's real, why didn't I receive healing? Well, it's a very good question. That's what we're looking at this morning, okay? So I want you all to, I've got notes. We'll hand them out at the end with a little quiz as well at the end of the notes. But I don't want to hand them out now because some people are taking notes. What I want you to do is this. As we're listening to what God is saying here, let's think of how this applies to us and then how it applies to other people. And let's think about what we can say to other people to encourage them to experience what God has for them in their life. In fact, let's just pray now. Father God, thank you for that testimony of Norman's. Thank you for your love and kindness to us, Lord. You're so kind and beautiful, Lord. We love you. Oh, Father, we love you. We love you for what you do in our lives. We love you for the truth of the scripture. We love you for your kindness and love to us. Thank you so much, Savior. Help us, Lord, to take now something from these words that have been spoken, to really take something, to really take something that will change and really permeate into our lives, that'll change something in our lives, that'll meet us at our point of need in our lives, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So then, here's the thing, okay? Over time, what happens, since the Bible times, what's happened is this. The church started, and when the church started, what happens? It was run often by frail human beings. I mean, you can see the state of, I'll just be honest, you can see the state of some of the leaders of churches today. It's hard to imagine people could be so out of tune with the Holy Bible. So, I mean, just completely out of tune. I don't know what they're reading. I really, God bless the darlings. But the point is, it illustrates how far people will drift, you see. People can drift a long way from the truth. And here's the thing. What happens is, they drift a long way from the truth. And then what they do is, they look at people like us who are believing the truth, and then they'll criticize us, and they'll marginalize us, and they'll try and undermine what we stand for. But here's what I'm saying. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think. Only concern yourself with what Jesus, who died for you, thinks, and what Jesus, who died for you, says. And have Jesus at the forefront. So when we study the scriptures, we're looking to see, what is Jesus saying? What does Jesus say to me today? What does it mean for me to be a follower of Jesus? We've said it many times before, haven't we? If I said to everyone here, do you believe in Jesus? Pretty much everyone's hand will go up. And then if I said to people, well, do you know what it means to believe? So, well, yeah, you believe in Jesus. You know, we put your trust in him. Well, what it means to believe is this. It means this. The antonyms, the opposite of believe, is to misunderstand, neglect, or disregard. That's the opposite of belief. So if we misunderstand, if we neglect, if we disregard those teachings of Jesus, we're not believing in him. So what it means to believe is that we must then, with enthusiasm, with that real, genuine, strong desire, seek those teachings of Jesus. Listen, what will happen is this. You'll grow lukewarm if you're not careful. We live in a cold society, cold towards God. If you're not careful, what happens? You can have friends and they go to church, but they could be lukewarm. They could be influenced by their society. What God has called us to be is to be hot for Jesus, to be hot for the Word of God, to have enthusiasm. I love the etymology of the word enthusiasm. I've told it before many times. Remember it. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek, entheos. To be in God means you have some enthusiasm. Okay, that's the Christian way. To be enthusiastic about life. To be enthusiastic about the Word of God. To say, oh, there's a Bible study. Oh, there's a truth. I want to hear this. And then I'm going to apply it to my life. That's the life of a believer. But the church has drifted a long way from this, okay? It's drifted a long way. So never look at other people. Don't look at those other people and think, oh, well, I'm all right, but look at them. I'm better than them. Don't measure yourself by people. Measure yourself by what Jesus says in the Word. This is the mandate for the Christian. This is the mandate for the believer. It's not the measurement out there. It's the measurement here. Is it making sense this morning so far, everyone? You know, it's very important that we do this. There was a man called F.F. Bosworth. Hands up if you've heard of him. F.F. Bosworth. He was a teacher, and he emphasized that faith isn't passive, But faith, in fact, it is an appropriating thing. So faith must take. Faith always takes. And he says that faith, appropriating faith, he taught on it a lot. He said, when you have real faith, it appropriates things. You know when it's real, your faith, because you're appropriating things with it. Oh, that job, I appropriated it by faith. Ah, that thing over there, it was appropriated by faith. My faith, I use it to take and shape. God spoke the world into existence. Okay, he spoke it. But behind those words was faith, the power of faith. And God tells us, listen, that's what I want you to do. Jesus said, speak to that mountain, then move it. Jesus wouldn't say it if he didn't mean it. Jesus meant what he said. And so what we have here is a very important thing. Faith is vital for us to understand what it says. Now look, it says in Matthew 21, 22, that and whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21, 22. The believer is called upon to fight the good fight of faith, as we've said. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, where you're also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. As there's a fight to faith, there are enemies and hindrances to our faith. Okay? But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. All that's necessary for our life here, okay, is found within the Word of God. So we have to, as people who are living by faith, be people who are living as students of the Word of God. Studying the Word of God is absolutely vital and a co-activity for us believers. I'm so happy, you know, that at nighttime we have a Bible study as a family. I'm so happy that we do that. I'm so happy that in our home, we sing songs of worship. I'm so thankful that in the car on the way to church every Sunday, we pray. First thing we do is we pray, and then we sing. We have a half an hour journey to church, and we sing and we praise God. I'm so thankful that we live in that atmosphere of prayer and praise, because it's that atmosphere that creates a belief and helps facilitate those things into our lives. It's a wonderful way to live. My precious brothers and sisters, I give it to you this morning from the Word. This is the way that we should live, you know. I want to say this. It says this in many times people don't get their healing, you know, because despite knowing many scriptures, what happens is this. I'm going to say it like this. Last week I said this. Last week, if you remember, I said that people can know, they can know about God. Do you remember what I said last week? They know about God. They know about God, but they might not know God. They can know about God, but not know God necessarily. And it's the same for us. People can know about healing, know about faith, but not experience healing and not experience real faith. God, through the scriptures, is edging us closer to the realm where we experience just what happened to Norman. Came forward to the front and the miracle happened there, right at the front a few weeks ago. Beautiful. That's the realm of the miraculous. That's the supernatural realm, that God realm, that kingdom realm, the realm where all things are possible. And it's a different realm than the world has to offer. The world knows nothing of it. And also, sadly, many churches know nothing of this. In fact, you know, I've even heard many people, they say that those things died out with the apostles. What terrible thing that is. You know, there was a man called Kenneth Hagin. Hands up if you heard of Kenneth Hagin. Yeah. Kenneth Hagin, he was in a Baptist church, and he was a Baptist boy. And he was dying. He was born premature, and he was just dying when he was 15 years old. And he was lying on his bed, and he was just very light, was a skin and bones. And they couldn't do anything for him. His heart was so weak, and he was dying. And they'd the doctor had given up on him. Everyone had given up on him. And he was in his bed there, and he was just in bed for 18 months. And they didn't believe in healing, you see. They said, oh, well, that ended with the apostles. That was their teaching. And so at nighttime, he would have some comfort by reading the Bible. He could only read a little bit. He didn't have the strength. But he read a little bit, and he prayed. And he felt inclined by the inner witness in his spirit, in his spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but the quiet in his spirit, where he had accepted Jesus as his Savior, to study the scriptures. Because he said, Lord, why aren't I being healed? Why can't I be like other boys? Why can't I go outside? Why is my life going to end now? What have I done wrong? I've done nothing wrong. And he was complaining to God, and he felt God answer through his spirit. And he said, well, you have to study the scripture. Study it and see what the scripture says. And he read in the scripture, all things are possible. All things are possible. From Mark 11, he read it there. It said, all things are possible. And he spoke to his family about it, and they said, well, you know, that stopped with the apostles, you know. And so he lost hope, but it persisted. He said, all things are possible. And he went to God, and he said, God, my family don't believe in it. But God said to him, well, who are you going to believe, your family or the Bible? You're going to believe my word, or you're going to believe the Bible? The choice is yours. He said, I believe the Bible, Lord. I believe the Bible. And the Lord said this to him, if you believe it, then you must act on it. Ah. So he said, well, I really believe that I'm healed, because the Bible says, if you can believe, you can receive. So he said, I really believe that I'm healed. And the Holy Spirit then was convicting him. Well, okay, you believe that, good. Good then, good. And encouraging him to now move his legs off the bed. He'd been bedfast for 18 months, but he slid his legs off the bed and he put his leg down. And of course he was a bit, you know, but then he started to just shuffle around like this. He's shuffling around, shuffling like this. And then he walked around his bedroom twice before he told his family. On the third day, he told his family. He said, Mama, will you put my clothes out for me? She said, oh, Kenny, she said, you can't put your clothes on. You can't put your clothes on, you know. He said, Mama, I've walked on the bed twice. She still spent about 40 minutes, he said, trying to convince him not to put his clothes on. He said, no, Mama, I want to put my clothes on. I want to go and sit and have a meal with you all. And so that's what he did that day. She finally gave in after 40 minutes, put his clothes out. He put his clothes on, took him a long time, but he put his clothes on and he walked to the breakfast table. What was that? What was going on? Faith in action. That was faith in action. So when God gives you faith, he expects you to have an action that corresponds. If it's real faith, it'll have an action. It'll prove itself in some action, okay? So what do you need in your life? What's the situation that you're facing? What action is it that you need? I remember, you know, many years ago when I was in London, I didn't have enough. I was living with a friend for £30 a week. I would give him £30 a week, and I had a bedroom in his house. And there was a crack, no double glazing, there was a crack in the window. It was with a big piece of glass missing. And there was, in the bathroom, there was a bucket, and he'd wash his clothes in a bucket. Oh, it was just, you know, it wasn't pleasant. I didn't like it. I was a bit soft. I was used to my home in Wales. And I was in London then, and, you know, it wasn't. And I just, I couldn't. And I said, I was reading in the Bible that you won't fail to receive 100-fold in this life if you've followed me, if you've left family, homes for my sake and the gospel. It says you won't fail to receive 100-fold in this life. I said, Lord, I don't want 100-fold. I just want one home to call my own. Just a home, please. And I didn't have the money for the solicitor's fees, let alone buy a home. I just had nothing. And God said to me, well, you can have it. And then I said to God, I haven't got the money for the solicitor's fees. I've got nothing. I can't do anything. He said, oh, he said, you can, I didn't ask you, he said, to pay for it. He said, I asked you to believe for it. He said that to me. He said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. I thought, wow, can I believe for it? I thought, yes, I can believe for it. So guess what I had to do? If it was real faith, real belief, guess what follows it? Action. Guess what I did? With about £20 in the bank, I started going around those estate agents, and I started looking. I said, I'd like to, I'm interested in buying a property. I didn't have any money. I had nothing. But what was I doing? I was being obedient to what God had said to me. And then I started, and then a wonderful thing happened out of the blue. You see, what happens is this. When we engage in the supernatural, we've now passed the first step. When you engage, when you do that by faith and you make that first engagement, you've now moved on from there. You're not there anymore. You're now here. And what you find is that God makes a way where there isn't a way. But it happens to you stepping out in faith first. Everyone say this. God makes a way. And it happens by me stepping out first. That's the equation for this. When I stepped out, I'm now in a different position. I'm there. Nothing's changed. I still only got £20, but everything has changed because now I've stepped out. I'm not there anymore. You see, faith engages the supernatural realm, which is higher than the natural realm. The natural realm is on this level. Faith is the higher realm. It's a higher reality. That higher reality is engaged not by the mind. If you think you can get there by the mind, you're mistaken. You can't get there by the mind. You get there by engaging your spirit, the spirit of a man that's yielded to God's Holy Spirit, and then you step up. Now you're in a different realm. And in that realm, that's the realm that all things are possible. All things are possible. What happened to me next was I received a phone call from a man who I didn't know. I didn't know who he was. I knew nothing about this person. I wasn't searching for anyone. I wasn't trying hard. I wasn't doing anything at all apart from being obedient and stepping out in faith. That's all I had to do. My part is just the faith. My part was to really believe for it. It's all I had to do. It's all you have to do. It's all you have to do is believe for it. If you can believe for it, you can receive it. I stepped out in belief, and I received a phone call from a man. I understand you need a mortgage. Now, I know that some people don't necessarily go along with mortgages, but I have a different view than some. I think it's okay as long as you stay within the agreement of the mortgage. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I, you know, very clear on that. This man phoned me up. And the next thing I knew, I was buying a house, and I bought a house. And even though nothing lined up, it was the most amazing thing and a lesson for me about the practicalities of stepping out in faith. But notice it started by me being in the Word and then going to God saying, hey, if it says this, how come, Lord? You see, God wants us to put a demand on the Word for ourselves. You have to do it. Sometimes people are, wait, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. No, that's not the equation. 2 and 2 is not 4.5. 2 and 2 is 4. The equation of faith is this. God has told us, listen, you have to step out. He's done it. It's finished. So the provision is made. The provision was made for me all along. All I had to do was believe. Now, I could have allowed my mind to say, that'll never happen for me. Oh, pity for me, and never happen for me. And I would have stayed where I was. Thanks be to God. He led me on a different way. The choice is there for us, you see. So what we have to do is believe and then make the decision, okay, to walk on that different way. You'll find that an amazing adventure of faith is happening to you, and it'll be the most wonderful thing and a flowing, beautiful thing. You know, one of my favorite testimonies about this was regarding a man called Dr. Simpson. I know I've shared this testimony before with the church. The truth is, right now, I'm looking at the time here right now. And the truth is, I'm not even past, I'm just starting my introduction. That's the truth. So what we'll have to do is, we'll have to, you know, pass till next week now. Because I'm barely getting started here. But I'll close with this today, because I just have a sense today that people need to hear this. It's a testimony I've shared before, but I want to share it this morning. At the age of 46, Dr. A.B. Simpson, who was a Presbyterian minister at the time, he later founded the Christian Missionary Alliance, was told he was dying of a heart condition and was given only 6 months to live. Dr. Simpson said that he'd heard many testimonies of healing, even in his own church. He took a short leave of absence and went up to his farm, where he could spend a lot of time studying the Word of God. Notice, study is so key in all these testimonies. All these testimonies have study at the heart of it. If you've got a situation in your life, studying the Word is vital. If it's a financial situation, study the Word. If it's an emotional situation that you're facing, find out what the Bible says about it. Do a study. If you're not sure, write me through email. I give studies out very often. I'm happy to do that. But study the Word. Get into what the Word says about it. Really do business with the Word of God. And you'll find that it's the starting point for your miracle. So he went and he did this study. And at the end of 2 weeks, Dr. Simpson took a piece of paper and a pencil and he wrote, "After searching the Word of God for 2 weeks, I'm convinced the Bible teaches that divine healing is for us today. And I, this day, accept Jesus Christ as my healer and declare that I'm now healed from heart trouble and that I am well." That was Dr. Simpson. Now, he's a minister of the gospel, but he spent 2 weeks away on his farm studying what healing says, and it changed his mindset on healing. You know, in the church today, if you talk to some people, they say, "Oh, well, you never know with God, you know, God's, whether he will, whether he won't." The only doctrine that we have in the scriptures is a doctrine of healing. It's right there in the New Testament. The problem isn't with God and what he has provided. The problem is with us and what we are prepared to experience and our disobedience to the word. Or our obedience to the word. Now, look. There's things that we can't, details that we can't, don't go into details. I'm talking about the general principles of faith here. So I hope you all understand that. To encourage everyone who needs something to believe and seek God. And so after he wrote that down, he accepted Jesus as his healer and declared, "I'm now healed from heart trouble and that I am well. And I promise God to use this newfound strength and life and energy entirely for his purpose and to further the gospel. I promise God," he wrote. "I will share this truth of healing with others and will help them." After that time, Simpson went to a luncheon where he was the speaker. All that came to him to speak about was one word of Matthew 8:17, himself. So Dr. Simpson opened the Bible and read the entire verse and told his audience he wanted to focus his attention on that word, himself. Then he gave them his testimony about how he had been searching the Bible and had come to the conclusion that Jesus was still the healer today. After the luncheon, he was invited to go to the mountain climbing by the men to whom he had spoken. The thought immediately came to him that he wouldn't be able to because of his heart condition. But then he remembered that he had declared his healing. So he accepted the invitation and he went. Now, up to this point, he had not really seen or felt his healing. He hadn't seen it or felt it. Okay? But he had just accepted it and declared it by faith. All the way up the mountain, every time he got his mind off the word of God, he'd begin to feel the symptoms in his body. He'd feel the symptoms in his heart. Every time he'd get his mind off the word of God. And then, as he claimed the word of God again for his healing, all the symptoms would go away. And he fought this battle all the way up to the mountain. But when he got to the top of the mountain, he walked about victorious without any symptoms at all in his body. Dr. Simpson was 70 years old when his testimony was published. He said he'd never had any more symptoms whatsoever after the mountain climbing experience. Isn't that wonderful? P.C. Nelson said that most people lose their healing over a counterattack than anything else. A.B. Simpson, who had acted like the word is true and received his healing, instead of trying to believe, he just acted upon the word. He acted like it was true. Instead of trying to, he acted like it was true. Are you with me so far? So faith takes the blessings of God. Faith says, "It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now." So in the word of God, it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses, and it's mine. I'll have it now. Stand, everyone. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now. In the Word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses, it's mine. I'll have it now. Healing is the children's bread. These are words that Jesus said. It's by faith that you'll receive. I said it's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine, I'll have it now. 'Cause in the Word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. Oh, it's mine, I'll have it now. It's mine, I'll have it now. It's yours. You take it now. Take it! What is it that you need in your life? Take it! Take it, whatever it is, take it now. Don't live under the circumstances any longer. Take it by faith. Know that God is real, God is true, God is a God of his word, and take it. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I'm happy to have a prayer with anyone at the front here after. Well, we're going to close with a hymn now. Let's close and sing together this service and let the Lord continue to speak and minister. And if you want prayer, please come to the front and we'll pray.